And you were listening to the hymn, Let All Together Praise Our God, which, of course, is the hymn for this coming Sunday, which is the first Sunday after Christmas. And this being Tuesday, December the 22nd in the year of our Lord, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Mark Smith. Hi.
Hi, Tom. Are you all ready for Christmas?
Is that this week?
You know, I realize now why this hymn did not seem familiar to me. They changed the first line. It used to be, "Praise God, the Lord, ye sons of men, before his highest throne."
Oh, really?
Now, of course, you know, now, "Praise God, the Lord, ye sons of men, before his highest throne. Today he opens heaven." So they changed that first line. No wonder I didn't recognize it. "Let all together praise our God."
Yes. So, who wrote it?
Let's see. Nicholas Hermann.
Yes, I think
In the 15th century.
Written to 16th century.
16th, yeah. He lived mostly in the 16th century.
Yes. Really. I think he was related to Walther.
Really?
Yeah. And...
Now, what makes you think that?
Because I'm reading it on the...
Oh.
Thank you. Oh, boy. Oh, what are you doing? Dropping everything. Boy, oh, boy.
Are you all ready? Are you all ready for Christmas?
Oh, yes. I'm...
You got all your Christmas shopping done?
No. Louise does that. I can hardly wait to see what I gave her. Yeah, that's the way we do it. We buy our own presents and then pretend it's from the other person. She started that when I gave her a snow shovel.
Yes, I was just going to say. She'll guess who gave her the snow shovel.
Yeah, that's right. So, boy. I'll tell you, I was listening to Issues Etc. yesterday, and Fickenscher was kind of going over the readings. And there were
I heard him.
Four services.
Yeah. Christmas Dawn.
Yes.
Christmas Day.
Christmas Eve. And then there was one
What's the other one?
I think the Midnight Christmas.
Ah, Midnight, yes.
Yeah. So, and he was trying to, you know, cover all the items.
All the propers.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think people understand what propers are? Maybe you could explain that to them. What are propers, Tom?
They're the proper things to use in the worship service. Those are those sections of the worship service that change from week to week.
Uh-huh.
In order to, like, obviously, Christmas Day will have a different set of propers than the Day of Epiphany. They try and bring in the theme for that mm-hmm. day.
Right.
And it's mainly the introit, for example, the collect, for sure.
It's introit.
That's what I said.
Introit. Not so, introit.
Yeah, okay. So when you do the collect or the introit, it's something... All right, I'm using the original language. Okay, what does that word mean?
Entrance.
Yes, that's
right. See, entrance hymn.
Yeah, after the pastor announces in the name of the Father, that's the baptism, then he enters into the altar, and he takes the whole congregation with him.
I tell
people that's how we become... able to do what Isaiah was really afraid of, approach the throne of God. By, number one, having our confession of sin, and number two, having the pastor speak the...
absolution.
Yes. So, this is a kind of a lengthy hymn.
It's a good hymn.
Yes.
A lot of deep theology here.
Yes. So, why don't we go ahead, and if you'll read stanza one.
Let all together praise our God before his glorious throne. Today he opens heaven again to give us his own son. To give us his own son.
Okay, if he's opening heaven, when was it closed?
Well, when we fell into sin.
Were Adam and Eve in heaven?
No, but the wall of sin separated us from God.
But I do believe they were in heaven.
Well, you make a good point. Eden.
Yes.
Heaven will be Eden restored. You're right.
Exactly. And when do we get closest to that restoration?
I would say whenever we worship at baptism, the Lord's Supper.
Absolutely.
The Lord's Supper with the communion of saints, all communing with us.
Angels, archangels, and
all the company
of saints.
Of heaven.
So today he opens heaven again. What's today?
This is a Christmas hymn.
Yes. So that would be when we celebrate Christmas.
December the 25th.
Yes. That's kind of interesting because that's going to be my question. When do we celebrate Jesus coming into the world?
Okay.
And most people are going to say December 25th.
Yes.
Which is wrong.
And what are you going to, tell them? Come on, Tom.
Well, it's March 25th.
Oh, yes, with the conception.
Even
sure.
Got you on right. That one?
You got me.
Oh,
yes.
My.
You got me, Tom. Yeah, yes. March 25th.
So we'll have to change the first stanza here.
That's right. He
instead
took
of today, he opens heaven gates. 9 months ago, he opened heaven's gates.
Well, we ought to put more emphasis on the Annunciation.
And you know why we don't? It always falls in Lent.
Yeah. This year. Now, this year, Easter comes pretty early.
Yeah, but
toward the end of March. It may. I have to look. Does it come before Easter this year or not? Have you checked?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It comes after
Easter.
Yeah,
sure you have.
It's March the 25th. And
yeah, so, March the 25th. But I don't know. Easter comes pretty early. Do you know when it comes? It's early. It's in March.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, one Lenten Wednesday, it just so happened to be March 25th, so I started off with O Little Town of Bethlehem. Nobody knew why we were singing that during Lent.
They thought, Baker's really got off his rocker today.
Yeah. Well, they say that every day, so it wouldn't have been anything special.
So did you explain that this was...
Well, that's what the sermon was about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so then they were, you know, nobody ever really thought of that. You know,
no.
We celebrate that.
No, you're always a step ahead of everybody.
No.
Oh, great one.
Boy, now you're sounding like my wife. All right, I'll read stanza two. He leaves his heavenly Father's throne, is born an infant small, and in a manger poor and lone, lies in a humble stall, lies in a humble stall. They always repeat the last phrase
right.
in this
That's,
particular
that is right.
And so he leaves his heavenly Father's throne and in a manger poor and lone. The big point, though, is born an infant small. Okay, why was it necessary for Jesus to become a human being?
In order to suffer and die for the sins of the whole world, for all of humanity, yes.
Yes. I use actually Revelation 5 to make that point because there's a wonderful scroll that needs to be opened because that is going to save people.
Yes.
But then it says there's a strong angel and he is unable to open the scroll.
That's right.
Because he's an angel. He's not a human being.
Let's see. Are there seven seals on the book?
Yes, seven seals.
Seven seals. And only the Lamb.
The
slain Lamb can open the scroll.
Yeah. And what do we call the first four seals? The horses of...
Oh, the horses of the apocalypse.
Yes, very good.
Yes.
And war, tyranny, famine...
And death.
And those are the horses of Satan. But guess who's holding the reins in chapter 6? Is Jesus.
Jesus is.
Yeah, yeah. So Satan can do nothing without God's permission.
I've got a question for you here.
Oh,
we can clarify, maybe. And that is, he leaves his heavenly Father's throne. Does he leave behind his deity or his omnipotence?
No.
Omniscience. Does he leave that behind? You know, I remember you used to think he did.
No, I had to correct you that he did not make use.
Oh, no. That's what I corrected you on.
No,
don't
I corrected
remember?
You.
Oh, you don't remember. Yes.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No.
That was H. Richard Klein that made clear to us. He did. He simply did not use his divine omnipotence. And
all the time, because he did sometimes.
Sometimes he did. Miracles.
Stilling the storm.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point is, he never ceased to be God. Even when he took on human frame, who was born an infant, was still God.
When he died.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people
God
just
died on the cross.
Yeah, God died.
And
on
this
the
is
cross.
Why we this is why we call Mary Theotokos, a God bearer. She is the mother of God.
Yes. And that's something that can be said. There's just so much. You prepared for your Sunday sermon, or do you have another field work appreciation?
No, I don't. No, they've all gone back home for vacation. No, I'm preaching it all.
Yeah. And first Sunday, you know, there's not that many Sundays where you really can sing Christmas hymns. Because a lot of pastors won't sing them at all during Advent.
Yeah, no, I've started to sing just a few, I give them a few Christmas hymns. We sing a lot of Advent hymns, but you know, you start repeating those before too long.
Right.
And so I try to have some Christmas hymns even before Christmas. And it lengthens that beautiful holiday out more that way.
No, there's no doubt about that. I see we've got some calls coming in. We're not taking calls today. We're taking it tomorrow, which is the last time Law and Gospel is on KFUO tomorrow.
Yes.
For 2015.
So we've got calls today. That's too bad we can't take them.
Yeah.
Well, did we say something wrong? Is that why people are calling in?
No, they're trying to correct you. And I just don't want to embarrass you, so we're not going to take that call. Okay. I will go on with stanza 3. Within an earth-born form he hides, his all-creating light to serve us all, he humbly cloaks the splendor of his might, the splendor of his might. But how many nativity paintings do you see where Jesus is lying in the crib with a halo above his head?
Yes. Well, you know, you see that even in the postage stamps of the Holy Family. You've got Mary with a halo, you've got Jesus with a halo, you got Joseph with a halo, you know.
Joseph has a halo?
I think, if they show him.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And you know, you pretty much, it's hard to find a postage stamp anymore with Mary and Jesus, let alone.
Really?
With the pure theology, right?
Yeah. I imagine you can get them, but you probably have to order them or something.
Just about all the paintings.
Yes.
Of Jesus and Mary. Mary's just about always pictured with a halo.
Pastor Gaunt at Trinity Orchard Farm.
Yes, good man.
When he does a nativity scene, he refuses to put in the baby Jesus till Christmas.
Is that right?
In the manger. So in the church, there's no baby Jesus in the manger.
No kidding.
Till Christmas.
Really?
Well, he made a mistake. And invited us up to his house with some other folks. And we went there and had a little party. And I went around his house and took the baby Jesus out of all the mangers he had. He had a baby Jesus in every one of them. And I handed him. I said, no, not till Christmas. That was funny. All right. So he hides his form. Yeah. Isaiah said there was nothing about his appearance that made him look divine.
Right.
You know, there's no difference there. And so what we have here is the first time he did not hide his appearance, would you not think it was the transfiguration?
Right. Well, how about the baptism? How about his baptism in Jordan River when the Holy Spirit descends upon him in a form like a dove?
Yeah,
and you have the voice of God out of the heavens. But you're right. That wasn't. It's not the same as a transfiguration.
No.
You're right.
Although you wonder, remember he was in Nazareth and they wanted to throw him off the cliff, and it says
yes,
he just walked through the
just
crowd.
Just walked right through him.
Did he become invisible? Or?
Well, that's the question.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like they just couldn't get a hold of him.
No, exactly.
And there was a whole crowd of them.
Yes. Stanza 4.
He undertakes a great exchange, puts on our human frame, and in return gives us his realm, his glory and his name, his glory and his name.
That's referred to as the glorious exchange.
The great exchange, right.
That Luther spoke of also often. And can you describe that? What was the great exchange?
Well, he takes on the form of a humble servant. I mean, his state of humiliation. And in exchange, we become saints.
Yes.
Saints of heaven. In children, heirs of heaven, children of God.
Yes. In fact, the glorious exchange, he takes on also our sin.
Right.
He becomes sin for us. And it was very interesting that you said, and then we become saints. There was an interesting item in the Post-Dispatch that the Pope is now going to make Mother Teresa a saint.
Right.
Because a miracle has occurred.
I think two, isn't it two?
No, he's doing fast track. One was enough for her.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what he even said.
Okay.
And some wife was praying for her husband who had a serious disease, and just about when they were about to do surgery, it had disappeared. So they consider that. You see, you don't become a saint in the Roman Catholic Church officially until after you die.
Right.
People pray to you, and if they're healed, boy, I mean, that is so odd, because even the devil can do miracles.
Yeah. Well, we were reading in the scripture just the other day where Paul is talking about the saints in Jerusalem.
Yes.
And they're living already. They're still living.
Yeah, right.
He calls them saints, the Apostle Paul.
No. In fact, a lot of his letters begin to the saints at such and such and such and such. And that's always a good question to have. I would start a sermon sometimes. Please put your hand up if you are righteous enough to go to heaven. And nobody puts their hand up. Because they forget they're saints.
Right.
And then I tell them, well, then you can't come to the Lord's Supper either.
I can just see these people out in the pews. Let's wait to see what he says here.
Yeah. No, it's a technique that I use in every sermon now, and I'm going to be talking more about it in a webinar soon. But what I'm doing is basically Jesus asks question after question after question.
Yeah.
And in fact, some people have come up and they say, you know, I like the questions because I have to think then.
Right, right.
And then when I hear the answer, you know, it's quite helpful.
Yeah,
but
sure.
All right. If you'll read stanza 5.
He is a servant, I a Lord. How about that line, huh? Isn't that something? Talk
about
an exchange.
How about that line? No, that's not what it
He is
says.
A servant, I a Lord. How great a mystery. How strong the tender Christ child's love, no truer friend than he, no truer friend than he. No, that line, boy, you know, that hit me this morning as I was going over this hymn. He is a servant. Well, of course, we hear that, the suffering servant, but all of a sudden, I'm a Lord. That's part of that great exchange.
Yes, and notice that the word Lord is not capitalized.
Not capitalized, right.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
Well,
that we're Lord.
We're heir of heaven.
Heir of heaven?
Heir of heaven. We've been adopted into his family.
Also there, Jesus as Lord was totally righteous. And we had that righteousness. In fact, it was Ken Sherb who really brought that home to me on Issues, Etc. recently, where he talked about one of the critical things about the Reformation that they really weren't talking about at that time that much was alien righteousness.
Yes.
Explain that.
No, you explain that.
Oh, okay. It means a righteousness that's alien. Okay, going on with the next.
Come on, Tom. You can do better than that.
Oh, okay. Alien, like if you said, I saw an alien yesterday, everybody would think you're talking about somebody from outer space, outside the Earth.
Yes.
Apart from our normal experience. Alien righteousness is Christ's righteousness. It's not our righteousness.
Right, that's right.
But once he dresses us in it, then it becomes our righteousness. Yes.
Right.
And the best example would be Jesus' own parable of the prodigal son. What does he put on the prodigal son?
Oh, yes. He puts the robe.
Which
puts,
robe?
Puts the ring on his finger. And, he puts on us his robe of righteousness.
But in the parable, do you
in
remember?
The parable?
It's the best robe.
The finest robe.
Yeah, which has to be the robe of the Father.
Yeah, I don't remember that detail. Was it really the finest robe?
Yeah, the best robe.
No, with sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger.
Right. And the reason for that, the Father rushes back to the village, gets the robe, and or he tells his servants to go get the robe and bring it out. And the reason for that is the elders are waiting to beat the son after what they had said to the father.
Oh, is that right?
And so this is Ken Bailey.
Yes, Ken Bailey, his resources.
Yes, and when the son comes back to the village with the robe on, the sandals, and the ring of authority,
they won't touch him.
They can't touch him.
Yeah.
And that's the robe against Satan for us.
Right.
The robe of righteousness.
And
Satan can't touch us.
And the son.
He's judged. The deed is done.
That's right. The prodigal son got that not because he convinced the father or anything, but it was just the father's good grace toward him.
In fact, he hadn't even taken a shower. So the robe went over his body that stank like pigs.
Like pigs.
He had been feeding pigs,
right.
And that's what God does for us. He puts on the robe of righteousness over our...
sinfulness.
Yeah. We're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So the robe doesn't come on us because
we're good.
Fixed it. No. Now, I talked about in the promo, stanza 6. Let me read that. He is the key and he the door to blessed paradise. The angel bars the way no more. To God our praises rise.
Oh, that's great.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, that is good. Oh, there's so much there. You know, you got the angel closing the gate to Eden.
Yes.
You know, remember the angel with the flaming sword. Didn't he have a flaming sword?
That's right, that's right.
That would not let Adam and Eve re-enter the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
And then on the curtain that separated the holy place and the temple from the most holy place, what was embroidered on that curtain was it cherubim or seraphim? It was angels. At any rate, it was angels.
Yes.
And now that curtain on Good Friday was cut in two.
Split open. Yes.
The angel guards the gates no more.
Right.
To God our thanks we pray.
But it's interesting, and you mentioned Charlemagne already. Everybody's interpretation means now we can go into the Holy of Holies. No. The Holy of Holies comes into us.
Right, that's right.
That's what the curtain means.
The Holy Spirit enters us.
God leaves the temple as he did at the Babylonian captivity. And our bodies now become the
temples of the Holy Spirit.
Well said. But I thought the angel bars the way no more. You know, if you're asking themes for Christmas, that's really a good one.
Yes.
What is Christmas, the true meaning? I was so disappointed.
Case.
Walt Disney and Donald Duck and stuff. And I watched it because it said they're going to give the true meaning of Christmas.
Oh,
and when they got
to
it, it was about loving your neighbor and giving gifts to the poor. And there wasn't one word of Jesus. And Walt Disney, who I believe was Lutheran, would have flipped around.
I think you might want to research that a little bit more.
I looked it up. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right, Tom. Okay, great one.
Stanza 7, small one. We're going to play this game.
Oh, this is a doxological verse. It has a triangle in front of it. That means we stand for this. Your grace and lowliness revealed, Lord Jesus, we adore, and praise to God the Father yield, and Spirit evermore. We praise you evermore. You know, something we forgot to mention in verse 6 is he is the key. Remember in the antiphons of Advent, O come thou key of David, come.
Yes.
And open wide our heavenly.
What do we talk about in the catechism in regard to that?
He is the key. He is the key that...
talk about the office...
of the keys.
Yes. And that's... When did Jesus establish that? It was when he met with his disciples.
His disciples and said, I give you the keys of the kingdom.
Whosoever sins, you remit, they are remitted in heaven.
And whose sins are you retained, they are retained also.
So you can lock heaven for people, and that's called excommunication or, for unbelievers. So that's the office of the keys. Getting back to verse 7, you already mentioned it's a doxological verse. That's very good. And praise to God, praise to the Father, Jesus, and Spirit. So, tell me your schedule for this week.
Well, we have Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. 6 p.m. Candlelight service. We have little little candles that we hand out to the congregation.
Is that Thursday night?
That's Thursday evening at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And then the next morning, 9:30 a.m., we have a special service of Holy Communion for Christmas Day. And then, of course, we have... We don't have a service Saturday, as we usually do. We don't have a service Saturday, but we have, of course, a regular service on the first Sunday after Christmas this Sunday.
All righty, and I'm going to be preaching Christmas Day at 9 a.m. at Trinity Orchard Farm. And then on Sunday, I'm going to Rosebud in Missouri again.
Yes, good people out there at Rosebud.
No, because they start the service saying they're poor, miserable sinners, so they can't be good.
But they're sinner as well as saint, right?
That's right.
Simul justus et peccator, sinner and saint at the same time.
Is all about.
That's right.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Mark Smith. God bless.
KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com.